We're going to start, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Winwood.
Hello.
And Franny Rhodes.
Hi.
With...
Are we rolling?
Yeah. We are rolling right now. We are starting with 60 seconds with Franny Rhodes. 60 seconds.
60.
Are you
okay.
ready?
I'm going to pelt
you with questions. Okay, right. Number one, it's an easy one to start with. Can we start the ticker? Can we start
the timer?
There's
actually a ticker?
Yeah.
Jesus.
It started now.
Okay.
Ready? Bam. Best restaurant in New York.
Oh my God, that's a hard one right now. Oh God, I can't.
That's 15 seconds.
There's so many.
Most frustrating app on your phone right now.
LinkedIn.
Very good. Best campaign you've seen in the last 3 months.
It's been a minute. Hard to comment. Oh God.
Least favorite color?
Yellow.
Interesting. Do I look like a rat or a fish to you?
Right now, a fish.
Fucking hell. And Nate, can you name a city that everyone should know about in the world?
Oaxaca.
Very good. And speaking of Oaxaca.
Am I right?
What and how would you describe your career in a noise?
Oh, a lightning bolt.
How does that sound?
Boom!
Whoa.
Did I mess up your mic?
That was the mic. Have you got the mic's level for that? Is that okay? And then the last thing, what is the most embarrassing thing that's happened to you in the last 3 months?
I feel like this is a little embarrassing. I'm going to be embarrassed in some form.
This.
Oh, yeah. 100%. There will be an embarrassing moment.
I love that. Okay, yeah. Fine. So today is the most embarrassing day of your life. Franny Rhodes, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm going to start a little differently today. I'd usually start by asking you I'm going to start exactly how I always start. Franny Rhodes, who was the first person that made you feel like you were talented?
I think it was the first people or agency or culture. I would say Jeff Goodby and Rich Silverstein. Awesome. I used to work there a really long time ago. But just being in that creative environment at such a young age really informed a lot of who I am today. And those guys just really tapped into something and the people around them. So I literally had like a front row seat to like amazing creativity. Had a really great time. So I think the two of them.
Okay. What did they do or say to you to make you feel like, okay, I can be confident here. I can be okay and be myself.
I think that they just allowed a space for it. I mean, I just felt really comfortable around them. They just, you know, and they're wild too in their own way. And I think that they just kind of just, you know, gave me the space to let my freak flag fly, with a lot of others that worked there during the time that I was there.
So it's providing an environment that makes you feel like you can be
100%
weird and wonderful.
That's 100% bang on, okay. Like 100%. And Jeff and Rich really set the tone during that time.
Speaking of weird and wonderful, I want you, because I think a lot of listeners right now will see a title, like a talent director or a cast or whatever, and they'll say, what does this person actually do? So I want you to imagine that I've got a small 9-year-old boy to my left. His name is Wilkinson. Say hello to Wilkinson.
Hi, Wilkinson.
Hello. Now, how would you describe your role to very naive and silly young Wilkinson? What do you do, Franny?
I get paid to talk to people and meet people.
Okay.
And to be nice to people.
Can I also do that? This is Wilkinson speaking, not me.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
What do I need? What skills do I need to have to be good at what you do?
Well, you've got to be personable.
Okay.
Friendly. Smart.
Wow. In what way? So how would you say that, Franny, I'm still the young boy, how would you say you're smart in what you do?
I think it's listening and learning. I think it's just always listening, always learning, thinking, being empathetic.
Empathetic is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And Wilkinson's quite empathetic as a person.
Yeah.
When is thing? I guess I would love to know, if I was a 9-year-old boy, when do things go wrong and how does that make you feel?
Listen, I would tell, Wilkinson, when does it all go wrong? My goodness. I mean, your 20s, your 30s, and your 40s. I mean, does it ever go right?
Fine.
I mean, but no, but you get better.
Yeah.
With the wrongs.
Wow, inspirational. Mm. If I was a young knight, I'd be up for this.
Yeah.
I think I have a rough idea about what you do. So I guess if I was with you describing what you do to Wilkinson, how I imagine it is you are responsible for creative people discovering opportunities at most of America's top advertising agencies. You've worked at Gooby Silverstein. You currently work at Mullen Lowe. I want to say you did a stint at 72 and Sunny as well.
No, wrong. There's a wrong. Boom.
That's a wrong. Oh. But we learn, Wilkinson.
Yeah, exactly.
We move on with our weird little lines.
No. If I was Wilkinson,
that's your next guess.
If I was Wilkinson, I want to know, what does a typical day look like?
Oh, good question.
Oh, my gosh. That's a great question, Wilkinson. Are we going to talk to Wilkinson this whole time?
Because
you didn't prep me to talk to a 9-year-old this whole time. But that's actually a really great brief.
Okay, there we are.
No, I'm just kidding. What was the question?
Does a typical day look like for Franny Rhodes?
It's not. What's great about it, because people ask me this all the time, I never know. I open up my computer, and that's what I love about it. Mm. It's like, I never know what I'm going to get. It could be anything. Because I'm dealing with humans, their ups and downs and
unpredictable
and very unpredictable. You can try and predict what the day would be like, but there's always something that shifts. And that's what I think is like super exciting about it. But also sometimes a little bit like, hence the lightning bolt can just be a, exactly.
What is predictable then? So what if you could say one thing that would happen most days, what would be a day-to-day reoccurrence in your role?
That I'm going to have a very hilarious conversation. There are people at Mullen Lowe, people that I work with, that just make me laugh. And I always know that there is going to be a laugh. And in my whole career, honestly, like, you just got to laugh and just have a good time. Mm. Find the joy.
Can you remember a time where most of your role, because it feels like now you're at a place at Mullen Lowe where it's a lot more enjoyable, you know who you are in the working place and that kind of thing.
Do I?
I reckon you must do. Come on.
Is that real?
Yeah, I do.
But do you remember a time where it wasn't like that? Or do you remember like a role where you struggled to kind of fit in and laugh and it's been a bit harder to get going with?
Yeah, I think it's always like I think in any role, it's just that year one is always like the hardest. At any shop, with the exception of Goodby, because I think I was just so young and naive, But now when I, change places, it's always that first year because you're building relationships. Yeah. You're trying to develop trust and it's always trying to understand the dynamics. Mm. Year one's the toughest.
Particularly in the people game as well, when you've got to build those relationships. Mm-hmm. That takes time, right?
100%.
Come over a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
What do you do with that? How do you, form relationships as quickly as you can do going into an agency?
Yeah, I do that. I just really intentional about the conversations that I have and, like the energy that I bring. And then I also am, you just kind of have to earn the trust. You just got to show impact fast so people let their guard down and start to bring you in so they can, see what you can do.
What does fast impact look like? So if you had, first 3 months and it's like, wow, Franny's absolutely killed it here in the first 3 months. What would be like a product of fast impact?
I think a point of view on talent and bringing people to the table who may have never been considered for a certain role. And, I believe in all of the hires that I bring in, I'm very passionate about people. And so when you see, people that you bring in that, people struggle with, they're like, oh, I don't know, I don't see it in their book. There are always notes. But once you bring someone in and there's trust there and they convert on something or they make a spark.
Yeah.
And then you're like, there it is.
That's my job done, right? Yeah. So I always like to understand what's the kind of the gold medal of someone's role. So when if it wasn't for you, that thing wouldn't have happened. Mm. And it feels like when we've had our conversations before, a lot of the great things that have happened in your career is when you've made somebody believe in someone that maybe wasn't the most obvious hire?
100%. Maybe,
like,
those are my wins.
Do they get, or do you find some ECDs or chief creative officers or wizards of creative, whatever we're going to call them, do they get annoyed? They're like, Franny, for fuck's sake, don't show me that person again.
Totally.
And then, how do you overcome that?
You know, I think that, like, I think it's, I'm grateful because I've, you know, worked with people who've given me the grace to just keep being relentless. It's like a creative having an idea that you're passionate about. You just keep going to the table. You'll show other things, like other ideas. Yeah. But it's like I'll always, if I feel passionately about someone, I'll show the, like, the 10 ideas, but the one that people keep on passing on. But then there's this, and, you know, I just wear them out, you know. And they're just like, there's like, fuck, just let her have the hire, you know. Yeah. Like, they just get tired.
Yeah,
that's 25 years of New York Franny right there. It's like, oh, it's just persistence, man. You got to break them down.
Yeah,
yeah. But it's like, that's what you want with creativity, is someone who's really passionate and someone who believes in something, whether it's an idea or a person.
Yeah,
you kind of want that, I think.
Has it worked out? Or actually, no, better question. Have you pushed really hard for someone and you haven't got a name, any names, where they've started and you were like, see, I was right, and the person's gone, they were or are as bad as I thought they were going to be?
Few and far between. I'm like pretty proud of all the hires, because I've seen when they've left and gone to other places, they've done really well. So it makes me think that the person, super talented, perhaps maybe we didn't have the environment that the person could do their best work.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and so when I see talent who might have been exited or, you know, moved, I'm like, but look what they're doing now.
Yeah.
It's like, how's that happening?
It's almost like you gave them that step, that lily pad.
I mean, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. And then just some exposure and just some more connections.
What do they have to do then? So how does a creative person catch your eye or get your belief that they are different to everybody else and have more potential than the others?
Ah, that's a good question. I feel like, for me, it's just a feeling. When I talk to someone, I mean, I'll obviously look at the work, and it's my responsibility to edit, you know, and bring, you know, the right books to the table and whatnot, whatever the right books are these days. But, like, I think when I chat to someone, it's just, like, I feel, like, an energy. I know it sounds super weird. No, but, like,
a dream catcher in the background.
I know, exactly. I think I might. But I just feel like there's just, it's a je ne sais quoi.
Ooh.
I know. I don't know.
You're in French as well, Franny, for goodness
sake. Yeah. But I just, you know, you just kind of know it. And maybe that's how it was when I was at Goodby. They just kind of knew it.
Mm.
They didn't quite know what it was, but there was something there.
Is it learned then? Can you learn that? Or is it just inherent?
I think it's like an intuitive thing. Mm. I think everyone's got like that sense, but it's like I've been able to sort of tap into it a little bit.
Nice. Because I just wonder, like, if you were to bring in more junior people to your team, like, how do you teach them that? Like, how do you teach them that je ne sais quoi?
You know, I just, like, it's more of, like, lead by example.
Nice.
You know, learn by watching me. And I try to spend as much time as I can with the talent team to develop them as much as I can, because I think it's, like, my responsibility to just pay everything forward. Yeah. And
I want you to tell me a story right now, and my little brother Wilkinson, about...
Do you actually have a little brother?
No, I don't. Okay. I've not got any. I've got an older brother. He's 40 years old and he's into Scientology, but that's another story for another time.
Oh my God.
I want to hear about, like, the best day of your career or a best moment of your career that you can relate to, where you've gone, fucking hell, that made me feel alive and electric.
Oh my God, this is gonna sound so cheesy.
Okay, today. It's today, isn't it?
No, well, yeah. This is gonna sound so cheesy, and I don't know who your audience is, but don't write me up on
just
some,
mom,
like, weird fishbowl app or whatever. This is so dumb. Not dumb, but like the Ad Age, like Shiat, New York, when I think it was like 2018. Was it 2018 or 2019? Someone will tell me. Anyways, we were A-list, on Ad Age A-list, got on stage, and I didn't accept the award. It was a team of people, and it was such a really great year. Mm. That whole time, like, that agency transformed, that network was on a roll, and just being on stage and just seeing all the wins and all the people who were a part of it, I mean, incredible.
That's awesome.
Incredible.
And was that more of a moment of, I guess that's the whole like gold medal moment, right? Where you're on the stage and you're accepting the achievements. But it's really, how long was the journey in getting there? Was it like a 2 or 3 year thing?
Oh, God. It was like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. Grueling. Like, it was a build. It was like, oh my gosh.
Where was it before? So when you started, what were the issues that...
You know, I think it was just like, you know, Shy at LA had been doing really well, you know, and I think that New York, it just had lost its luster for a moment. I think it's just, you know, seasons, you know, agencies go through different seasons, and I think they'd been in a dark season for a moment. I think that LA was getting a lot of light, and I think that there were people who joined about the same time that I was there, and there was just like an energy and the talent galvanized, and you know, we all made like very interesting and strategic key hires that completely just flipped the place around. Pieces of work came out of it that like got a lot of eyeballs and a lot of attention. People were talking about New York again in a different capacity. And it was just exciting. You could feel the momentum. You could feel the place start to turn. You could see the excitement. And yeah, that was a really great time.
How do you feel about talent going from New York to LA or even other places now? Like, where do you think people are heading off to these days?
Oh gosh, I think they're everywhere. You know, I think the pandemic, 2020, I think it's just scattershot. Which has been interesting. I mean, obviously there are centers of gravity of where, like, you know, the offices are in different markets here in the U.S. But I think talent, it's the world's your oyster.
And do you not think there's any logic to it now? Do you think creatives in New York are going, it's fucking wet here and I'm paying a lot in taxes or whatever? It would make a lot more sense if I go and lived in Boston. Or is there like... basic logic to I guess New York losing talent, do you think? Or do you think that's a thing that's just happening seasonally?
I think it's just, you know, the industry I think right now is, you know, highly competitive. I think that, you know, 2020 really pushed us into a new space in terms of, you know, hybrid work environments, remote work environments. I think people have more choices. And I think that, you know, there are just a lot more options and things on the table now. And I think talent, you know, they're making a lot of different life choices. And I think that everyone's just trying to work out where their place is, not only within an organization, but also the world at large.
Where their priorities are, really.
What number one thing do you see, or what number one reason for a good creative leaving an agency these days? Have you seen a thing that's reoccurred quite a lot?
A reason why a good creative's leaving? I mean, I think it's just because they just, you know, having to deal with the same shit, you know? It's just like, they're just like, I'm out. It's just the same shit, you know? Like, in terms of, you know, like, the just consistent themes with the industry, whether it's, you know...
it's creative briefs.
Yeah, it's just a hamster wheel. Some people just can't be on the hamster wheel any longer.
In New York mainly, so they want to go to LA.
Or maybe.
And relax in the sun.
Yeah. I think also people, like, you know, at their life stage want to shift. You know, as you get older, sometimes you might have a different family structure. You might have, you know, a girlfriend or, you know, kids on the way and whatnot. And so I think people start to do different type of, like, mental gymnastics and math as it relates to the relationship with, you know, the work, themselves.
Have you seen more people go into in-house, into brands rather than agencies?
I've seen that, and I've seen them jump out quickly.
Why? Why do they jump out?
Or not jump out, or they're like, oh, God. Because just, I think it's, oh, God.
You can say it. You're allowed to say it.
I think it's hard for creatives coming from the ad world, I think, from my data collection. I think it's hard to just work on one brand, right? And, you know, when you're used to working on multiple brands, swinging across different things and flexing creatively to just do that one thing on rinse and repeat – I think it might be hard for some people.
So the lack of variety, I guess. Yeah. A lot of people have said that when, you know, when tech companies like Facebook or whoever it was, Amazon and Instagram, when they started to pull away talent in like 2013 to 2018, there was this kind of promise of the wonderland of where things happen quickly and it's innovation and, you know, all these things around you, Silicon Valley, money. And I think a lot of creatives that would have been a creative director, it could be where they were the rock star and, you know, that was the person that the agency would hail as the most successful person within the business. A lot of the feedback we got from someone that would spend time at a Facebook would be, you're not the rock star there. And actually, Google, if you go and work at Google, they care more about the 10 things that happened at Google that week rather than the can gold that you've come into the office with.
So, I bet it's like top dog to no dog.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. No dog, right?
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah.
But it's, you see that some tech companies have learned that, right? And they've gone, okay, we can foster, like Squarespace, for example. I think they were voted like the best in-house creative whatever team. Love their team. Work. Great it's work. It's really good. And it's amazing because it's playful and it's experimental.
Well-designed.
Yeah, and well-designed, of course, knowing that you love your design.
I love design.
But it feels like that is the only way, and you talk about the Goodby thing and it's about creating this environment, the only version of a good in-house team that I've seen is when they're really willing to make mistakes and kind of, okay, that might not work, let's try it. Do you remember Spotify did that thing? It was that campaign where it was like 1971 sounds like this.
Yeah, that was Who, What, Why.
Was that Who, What, Why?
That was an agency.
I'm going to cancel what I just said then. But oh my No, that was an agency.
The best in-house teams seem to, I think where I've seen the most success for people has been when the CMO is creatively driven and not necessarily numbers driven. That's the biggest feedback I get from creative directors and ECDs stepping out of a brand. It's actually my CMO wasn't creatively driven enough.
Yeah.
And they didn't understand, like, you know, the importance of this purposeful, meaningful work. But actually, is it going to make us cash? Is it going to...
And that's where the repetitiveness comes from.
Yeah, for sure.
You see the lack of spending there as well. Like, I know people that work in-house and the minute the thing isn't providing the return on investment, they're like, okay, pull it.
Yeah.
And it was just about to get better. It was just about to start soaring. And
but I do
crazy.
Think I do think more brands are tapping into that. Like, there are big, big brands out there. The feedback that we get from big agencies working with big brands is like, oh, the CMO's changed their mind and now we're looking to do more purposeful, meaningful stuff because that's the way that the world's going and that's what consumers and the next generation want to see. A brand that connects with more, you know, humans, I guess, rather than just numbers.
Like Patagonia.
Like Patagonia. Exactly.
Great example, favorite brand.
Subliminal advertising.
There you go.
This is my only black top I brought to New York.
I've only got black tops in New York. That's my new thing, apparently.
Yeah. For the record, I haven't just worn it purely because they've sold to themselves and the world back or whatever it was. I've always loved their brand.
Do you believe that, right? Okay, so I don't know how much I buy into the brand thing.
Is Wilkinson like, just like snoozing right now? He's in a nap time.
Sorry, no, Wilkinson will come back live. In fact, Franny, thank God you mentioned it. Wilkinson had a question. He was sorry, Wilkinson. He was trying to speak. He's not got a microphone. So he was going to ask you, actually. Franny, the talent thing sounds really interesting, but I'd like to be the talent. Oh, good question. So what should I do as a 9-year-old aspiring to be a creative person? Should I become a creative and work in an ad agency, or should I become a TikTok person and just make really cool shit that the world sees? Or should I go work in-house at Amazon and make that repetitive work that you're speaking about that has to drive revenue for big tech? What should I do?
Ooh, Wilkinson. Oh my God, you're catching me. If you caught me, Wilkinson, who am I talking to? You?
This guy.
Oh, God. God.
Such an articulate 9-year-old. Yeah.
I think just be creative. I think like just let the creativity bring you to where you need to go. I wouldn't have said that to you, Wilkinson, maybe like, you know, 10 years ago or 20 years ago. But now what I'm loving about creativity is just like it's all on the table. Everyone, it's a really great time, I think, for creativity. I mean, I was just chatting with the ECD in our New York office over text. Like, I'm going to see him this week. And I'm like, we need to talk about fashion right now. Because, like, what was happening at Paris Fashion Week with, like, Balenciaga and Moschino. And, like, I mean, just, like, Gucci, like just, it's getting real weird. And I love it.
Crocs and stuff. Yeah.
Yes, this whole Croc life. I saw a friend yesterday, or no, 2 days ago. She just got her first pair of Crocs. And there are these charms that you like attach to them.
Yeah.
Okay, and then so then I got on the subway and I met her name's Marissa, and I messaged her and I cut to, I see someone with the same description of what she just ordered, the Crocs, whatever. And I'm like, oh my God.
Did you ask her about them? Were you
I said I just saw someone with Crocs. And then a friend of mine, Gio, in LA, he just got his Burberry Crocs.
Burberry Crocs.
I had to talk to Gio about this because they're like a Croc drop or something. I don't know.
Croc drop.
I don't know.
So
but you know what?
In 1980 or whatever, that'll be an Elton John album. But now, it's fashion. Ridiculous.
I know. It's so weird and interesting.
What is your opinion on the high heel croc, though? What do you think about it?
I need to see it in real life. I want to say, I got to see someone rock it for me to really.
What if someone doesn't rock it and it's like, I don't know, my nan bowls down the street? Would it then have the same kind of, you know, lure?
I don't know. I might be like, that's fucking cool. I'd be like, that's like innovative. Like they put a heel on that shit. Yeah. Like I'd be like, okay, give grandma a lift in the best possible way.
I mean, she can't be walking in croc heels, can she? She's there with her Zimmer frame. Like, why did I buy these things?
Oh, my God.
Sorry. So you were saying,
sorry,
Wilkinson should become a fashionista or whatever his heart says.
Whatever his heart says. I think, you know, and I just think that's what everyone's kind of doing right now. Mm. Everyone's just kind of like figuring out, right? We came out of a really interesting time. Mm. We're only about, 2 years out of it?
Yes.
Right?
Not even two years.
And so all the reflective moments that people had in 2020 and 2021, I think 2022 has been an expression of whatever was inside, whatever was happening in the outside world. And I think we're starting to see it get real weird creatively.
I hope so.
From music, from fashion, adverts, maybe. I haven't seen the weirdness yet. I'm still waiting for some weird to drop.
We need more weird.
I want more weird.
Really,
that's actually, Wilkinson, just get weird. I would say get weird. Get creative, get weird. Like, I want to see some weird
shit.
The
weirder the better. Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
What's the best weird shit you've seen in the last couple of years?
Ooh.
Apart from
Sam. I mean,
apart from me.
I feel like, I mean, I'm going back to fashion because it's like, I love fashion. This Balenciaga, man, they're getting weird and I love it.
Is it all a
I
bit
love
of a
it.
Game? Are they just doing it to go?
I have
again,
no
like,
idea.
Yeah.
I have no
I've
idea.
Always wondered, are they just doing it as a bit of a joke and seeing how much cash they can make?
Oh, God, there's something there. I mean, they did this show in the stock market like two seasons ago. It was like in the stock market in New York Stock Exchange. It was like super disruptive. It was a collab with Adidas. Sorry.
No, you're in. I understand both.
It was like sick. It was just like people masked up. It was just, you got to look at it.
Cool.
And it was just like that the models had a strong walk. It was very industrial. Like, it was crazy. I watched it like 10 times. I was like, this is weird.
You've got to see that.
You've got to see it. And they just did one like, you know, just like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, getting weird.
Okay.
So what do you remember the Simpsons and Balenciaga collab?
Yes.
I thought that was genius.
That was genius too.
Genuinely thought that was amazing.
And then with Gucci, they had like Gizmo, the Gremlins, like part of, like, it's just weird.
It'd be like the Muppets and Burberry next, wouldn't it? Be like,
that's not, I like the idea of that.
They also, and
you got that on camera.
A different, I know we're talking about fashion, which I'm so sorry, this is not where I wanted to go.
No.
But I'm enjoying this.
They also, you know, everyone was talking about it. They had Jerry Seinfeld for Kith. Kith is
it was
a big campaign, beautifully shot by amazing photographer Mark Seliger, and he's like a legend. But my mind just couldn't do the leap from Jerry Seinfeld to Kith.
Mm.
But people were talking about it, and I think that's what people wanted, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, but I still like, you know, when I saw the billboards and like all the posts, I was like, I can't get my head around it, but. You know, it made me think.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, interesting casting choice.
You mentioned, I just want to quickly pause on fashion. I love fashion, as you can tell. But you mentioned what's changed in the time of like post-COVID. I'm not going to hang around COVID too long. A lot has changed, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about remote working, people moving and getting out of their cities they're in. What do you think has been the biggest change to the creative agency landscape since we went remote and now we're kind of doing this weird come into the office but don't, we don't need you to, we do thing?
I think talent's fussy.
In what way?
I think it's fussy in the sense that, like, they're just kind of like, the burnout is real. Real. And I think agencies are trying to balance the burnout with the demands of the client. You know, I mean, back to the CMOs, I mean, you know, it's still a business. You still got to, you know, move units and sell product and all of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just think that it's just been hard, you know, for people figuring out ways to collab, figuring out ways to get creative when you're remote. But, you know, now that we're back, but then everyone's lives have changed. So it's just like, I think it's just fussy. That's how.
Can you effectively collab remotely?
I think so. But I think you got to be really intentional about it.
Mm.
I think you've got to probably over-index on what that might look like.
As it'd be quite prescriptive. So that we're going to have a call and here's the outcome. Because I just find, does that work?
No, I think it's, I mean, there's no playbook. But I think that, like, really intentional about, like, ways of working, but not like force, right? But like, but just knowing that, like, okay, this person's remote. Okay, so we've got to, as an agency or a group of people, we've got to intentionally work out how does this fit in. Like, really think about it logistically, you know, so that it, you know, and pivot, and, you know, try new things.
I find this remote working thing, and also, like, there's a defense, I would say, for people complaining about how talent doesn't want to be in the office right now. And it's like, oh, I can't believe these Gen Z or millennials won't come in. Like, it used to be so good. We're missing out on osmosis moments and small conversations that unlock creative ideas or whatever. But I think there's an argument for them to be like, isn't it on you as leaders of the industry or the agency to design the environment that makes them want to come back?
That's a great shout.
Maybe not 5 days a week, but if you say, like you said, intentionally, there are going to be 3 days where we are expecting some creative magic to happen. So come in and don't be on your phone. Like, give a moment of nothingness, an awkward pause in a conversation to happen, because the outcome of these 3 days, we're hoping once a week, is some kind of creative thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's the kind of hard and soft new approach that's going to start to happen in creative leadership, at least, where, okay, you're not expecting everybody to collab on a Zoom call, but when they are together, you have enough of time together so it's not so functional.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, create a brainstorm at 12 p.m. in the office. We're only asking you to come in for 1 hour. People have ideas in the shower. People have conversations that lead to ideas on a walk or in a coffee shop or whatever. Maybe is that a better idea, to be more intentional and give more time?
Yeah, I think so. And also, we talked about this yesterday. I think it's like, you know, hello, advertising leaders of the industry, current day, get to know your talent. Not in terms of, like, you know, their skill set, whatever, who they are as humans, what their passions are. And it's hard to do when you're, like, in a work session over the work. Like, you've got to be able to figure out how to carve out time to know who they are as a human. Because you'll get the best out of them. If they can connect with you in a capacity beyond the work, you know, that's what I mean by intention.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Connection is such an interesting point, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so important. Because I think there's a correlation there between working remotely and, like, lack of human connection and quiet quitting, which is something that we'll talk about. But
quiet quitting, just on the definition. So, right, this is when you do the minimum that is expected of you in your job, right? And Sam and I were saying on the walk here about remote working allowing that maybe more, because you've not got your ECD behind you or next to you looking at you being like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Can you make a connection, do you think, between those two things? The rise of quiet quitting in at the same time of remote working?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, it's probably on the heels of, you know, the burnout, great resignation, right? So everyone's got, like, a theme of time. But I also think, like, for me, like, I wonder if quietly quitting, and I know there's all different types of articles and, you know, in discussion about it, which I think is great. But I think I just wonder if it's, like, people are lacking some type of connection that like they're just like, I'm not gonna go an extra mile because I don't know who you are, you know? Like, but if let's say, like, for instance, like, let's say I worked for you and like, you know, exactly. And like, we got to know each other, whatever. And you just made it fun and you made it welcoming and you made it, you know, cool. And it wasn't just like, you know, like a fear-based type vibe where it was just like a yes, no culture. I would probably be like, I would want to go and do an extra few reps for you because like, you're a good dude. You know what I mean? Like, but like, if your talent doesn't know who the leaders are, if you're the managers are, how are you able to get the best out of them? Like, you know,
I really like that. And I think that's got a very valid point. You see all these different remote teams or fully remote teams being set up and the question being like, why aren't they working later or why aren't they pushing beyond what they should be doing? Well, who the hell are you? Like, which kind of environment have you designed for them to want to do that more? And that was the mind-blowing moment that we had on the walk here. It was like, oh my God, that is it. There is no emotional beyond work connection now because everything is so functional. Slack is functional. Zoom is functional.
Yeah.
Working remotely, all the tools you've been given, there's nothing up there to ask how your day's gone. And 100%. For there to be a reason to ask that question.
Totally.
And when someone does on a Zoom call, you're like, oh, fuck off, let's just get to the point.
Exactly.
Let's not do the small talk thing because I've been sitting here in this chair for 3 hours and I haven't eaten and I don't care about your day. Sorry, let's move on. And that's not on the person who's been on the call. It's not their fault. It's not the leader's fault or the person that's being asked the question. It's the environment's fault, right?
Totally, totally. And I just feel like we, for talent, for what I'm trying to do specifically with my team, is just like get back to the human moments, the relationship, you know, cultivating the ecosystem of talent and being more human and less transactional. I think that is going to cut through. I'm not interested in a volume play of talent. I want quality talent, human talent. I want to know what their passions are, their hearts, what makes them tick. You know, I want that.
Deeper relationship.
Mm-hmm. That's basically it. What you're describing there are the components of a human that make them a different and unique human being.
Exactly. Right? And it takes time to cultivate that. And I think that with this whole transactional swipe left, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's just, you know, and maybe that's going to like, you know, someone's going to swipe left on me at Mullins. You're going to age her out because there's like these little biscuits coming in hot with like super fast. I respect it. At the same time, it's like, you know, when you go shopping, it takes a minute. You got to go through a lot of racks, you know, to get that item that's like the best piece to augment your wardrobe, right? So it's like, I don't know. You got to search for it.
I like that. I'm kind of drawing a correlation between experience as well, because we live in an age where Mark Zuckerberg at the age of 25 was running one of the most powerful companies in the world, or 28 or however old he was, right? People question his ability to lead, and they still do. I find it exciting that there's almost this respect now I'm seeing for people that have more years experience, who've been through recessions and waves and inflation. The kids are now looking at all the biscuits, as we're calling them on this podcast. Well, isn't that right, Wilkinson? You're a little biscuit.
You're at least a little biscuit. It's a term of endearment, by the way, for all of those from Mullenlow who are listening. HR's gonna call me, I bet you. I'm not media trained.
That's the
just
disclaimer.
So you know, so with your you know, can we have a chat? I know I'm gonna get a call. I know it.
Great, I love that. That's fine. We'll ignore them anyway, the biscuits. So
no, I'm kidding. They're not even listening. They don't fucking give up.
No, they're not on this. They're on TikTok somewhere.
Yeah.
But I like that because I think there is a growing appreciation. Before it was like, look how fast I can go. Look how much I know about how the world works. Look at me and my TikTok or whatever. And now it's like, how did you get that person to speak about their life so much? And you say, well, it's because I've been trained for 30 years how to deeply connect with people. I didn't tell them all about my life and how great I am. I asked them things about them. And I said, what makes you tick? What gets you excited? What makes you creative? You, Mr. or Mrs. Biscuit, that stormed in looking at your phone and not making any conversation or really making any effort to get to know anybody around you, will have very small amounts of influence on the room.
Yeah.
Because you've not asked me any questions.
Yeah.
And I think that's the kind of, there was almost a fear, people with experience in the ad industry going, holy shit, these biscuits are coming up through the ranks and they know so much more about how the world works and how attention works. And I believe that there's a shift coming, which is appreciation for depth and actually appreciation for mindfulness and presence mm-hmm. and conversation.
1,000%. And, you know, Gen Z is not going anywhere. And, you know, so I think that leaders need to innovate their leadership style. Mm. You know, I think that we've got to adapt and move with the talent. I think it's really important. And yes, like, I think that there is experience comes into play, but we really got to listen and we've got to move with the talent. Mm. And I think that for us to future-proof ourselves and our agencies, we've got to learn new ways of working and new leadership styles. Because Gen Y, you know, Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z, mm. they're all different and born from, you know, different places. So you've got to, like, innovate yourself as well.
Yeah.
And when I met the two of you, I don't think we even talked about, I think that's why I'm here today, to be honest mm. with you. Like, when it's just like our first meeting, I was just like, we just spoke. I think we got real deep real fast.
Very fast. For a long
like,
time.
Like, one it was coffee like... in, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it was four coffees in about 3.5 hours. And then yeah. we had to carry that on over 5 pints.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, I just feel like, you know, that was like, okay, a real connection,
mm.
you know? And I'm like, oh, yeah, well, we'll now put you guys in my ecosystem of talent.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is trust.
Yeah.
That's trust.
100%.
And how can you trust somebody unless they're willing to go deep and exactly. get weird and be conversational?
100%. Like, I think that's like, it's so important to, you know, to build relationships, yeah. to nurture the talent, to talk to talent. It's like, I use this at the agency a lot, and some people pick up what I'm putting down, and some people are like, what the fuck is she saying? But it's like, we have a garden, like a legitimate garden of beautiful plants and animals, trees, and we as leaders need to understand how to water those plants. Mm. And so, and those trees and all the things so that they can blossom and bloom and thrive.
Yeah.
Like, we've got to look at it that way. How are we being better gardeners? Because I'm going to bring in more, like, exotic shit. And, you know, you got to know water how breaks. To water that plant and talk yeah. to that plant. Yeah. And if you don't, they're going to wither away. And that's not on me. It's on you. It's on us, you know?
Wow, I love that.
I love that analogy.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying that analogy. I want to sort of flirt with this analogy.
Take it.
Okay, I'm stealing yeah. that one.
I've been rinsing and repeating it at work.
Sure, there's something that you can say with the jungle oh. here, like about...
Oh, my God.
What rainforest. Yeah.
Like. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, there's a rainforest outside, for Christ's sake.
I know.
Franny, we've been given the nod of 5 minutes oh, left, God. And I want to make sure I ask you this question because I said I was going to, and I haven't yet. Elephant vomit. So ooh. It's a weird term. It's quite an ugly term. It came around because we wanted you to name an elephant in the industry or an elephant in the room about the industry that isn't said. And then I was like, it's not enough because you might say something quite broad, like we need to improve our diversity or we need to, things that everybody knows. So this is now an elephant vomit, which is what is an elephant in the room, but it makes you want to vomit because it's so ridiculously obvious and needs to be purged.
Oh, God, we don't have enough time. Yeah, my trigger word is revenue.
Okay.
It's just like, I hate it. It's just like, I know we're in a business. I get it. But the equation for me is work plus talent or talent plus work equals revenue.
Mm.
That's the equation. End of story. But when the equation for people is revenue equals plus talent equals work. No, 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 no. It's simple math. Work plus talent equals revenue.
Love it.
End of story.
Jesus Christ. Okay, fair enough.
Oh, I'm going to get written up. Awesome. I'm going to get written up. This is
it.
I
love that.
This is it. I tell people, I'm like, dude, I think I'm like one tweet away from a career killer. And I think this.
No, I think you're one away from a career boomer. No. This is the moment that we're gonna freeze frame that moment.
And again, not media huge. Trained. Not media trained. Disclaimer.
No, I love that. Thank you so much for saying that because I think it's important. People, we've almost forgotten, you know, how to be more humans. I still wang on about like how us all post in a post COVID world. It became. Work should give you more life and work-life balance. And I think that took the life out of work, actually. And that's why it's become so revenue-focused. We're seeing all of these people now being like, okay, that's a very short part of my life, work, right? And so therefore, if I'm there, I'm there to make money and then I go home. And that's taken out the fun. Mm.
So I always thought it should be life-work balance because life comes before work, no?
Or maybe life is work. Who knows? That's how I thought New York used to work. But it feels like that's kind of changed in over time.
It's all shifting.
It's all shifting.
In the best possible way.
Thank you, Franny. I've really enjoyed this.
Thank you.
I feel like we've...
What about Wilkinson?
Sorry, Wilkinson. Thank you so much.
Is he sleeping? Did I bore him?
He's got to have a nap before the next guest. But thank you so much, Wilkinson, for being so inquisitive and curious.
We might get his little sister gone.
Is there a B camera on Wilkinson? No. Are you Wilkinson?
This is Wilkinson. Franny, I want to say thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. There is
so much wonderful wisdom, wizard gold that you've said. So a big thank you for being on Untalented, you legend.
Thank you. Thank you.